Thank you very much, Tanya. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening to everyone on today's GeoRegions call on Thursday, the 24th of May. We have Cheryl Langdonore, Dave Archibald. From staff, we have Rob Hogarth and myself, Gisela Gruber. Apologies noted from Fahd Batayne. And if I could please just remind you to state your names when speaking for transcript purposes. Thank you. Over to you, Dave.
Thank you. Well, in light of the few numbers that we have got, I would like to initially concentrate on the verbal feedback that we got at the meeting at San Jose. Cheryl, have you had an opportunity to read the transcript of that?
No, I haven't, I'm afraid. I've been somewhat otherwise occupied. I did suspect that it would be very similar to the issues that were brought up before, but if there's anything new...
I was hoping I could come to you and say, can you explain a little bit more the ALAC views, because I'm sure I still don't believe that I fully understand where they're coming from. So that was my
concern there. Sure, I can have a punt at that. I think what various regions within the At-Large Advisory Committee are concerned about is whether or not there is any real gain for their component parts to change the model, even to the RIR model, having digested the who gains and who loses and seeing the general balance of numbers, etc., being fairly equal. I think there is a concern that the investment in making the change, what might be lost in terms of previously established internal regional workings, operations, political alliances and everything else, might be a little bit traumatic for them. There are, of course, few highlight points where the micro and island states still maintain that their situation, that's both in the Caribbean and in the oceanic regions, have particular needs, and to be clustered in with some of the big islands, for example, and I'd include New Zealand there in the oceanic point as well as Australia, somehow means that some of the specific issues that they think they have in terms of community of interest would be better met by having a subset that saw that recognition of their particular needs, but that is also balanced to some extent by, even without going beyond Asia Pacific, some of the views, not by the Arab commentary that we did get in the earlier public comment, but in face-to-face interactions that some of us have had, where some of the Arab League states have said they think that the insulation that would result should we not go on either a no change other than allowing people to hop from one side of the fence to the other because it suits them at this stage, and that would perhaps pick up some of the issues that being mismatched, as many countries and states are, or sorry, not states, islands are, that, you know, that would be a little bit insular, and in fact some of them indicated that they benefit by being in at least the at-large system and working with the Eastern Asian and even Oceanic countries. So we're almost six of one and a half dozen of another. If I had to say, would there be a general feeling that change should be wrought, I think it would be for, as little change to the existing five-region model as possible, and preferably to simply allow self-determination for some of, or for any, depending on how it's processed. There might need to be a, you can't change every, you know, every month or every half month or every year or every 3 years, because you don't want to be having sort of venue shopping happening, but some ability to self-determine for a country that feels that it is inappropriately allocated. The EDGE community at the Asia Pacific and European border really is probably able to manage in either side, in other words, as part of URALO or as part of APRALO, with the greatest inconvenience to them actually only being time zones for meetings. But the self-organisation for interest groups, those sort of special, be they ad hoc or more permanent communities of interest, be it language, cultural or otherwise based, was an idea that still did have a fair amount of support. And, of course, you have the tiny units where there is some political contention on the drawing of who goes into what geographic grouping. I don't think I need repeat, but obviously language use on even nomenclature of some of the identifiers for these countries is an issue for some. That tends to be more in the Latin American, Caribbean and European borderline. To that end, we already see that some of the need is being met with ad hoc formulation of birds of feather or special interest groups or communities of interest. We have the reality that, for example, the small island states, both Oceanic and Latin American and Caribbean, have joined together and put in a successful workshop for IGF. So that's woven, I think, I'd like to think it was inspired by the good idea from the GEOs group, GEO Reviews group, that ad hoc formulation to meet need is also something that can be done. It doesn't have to be the tightly tied to a ICANN listing. One thing I would mention, though, excuse me, is the desire I've heard for all of the ICANN nomenclature for identifiers for countries to be very, very particularly matched to the ISO 3166-1. They like to think that if you go back to what was in the, I think it was the Toronto meeting that did the last listing, there has been a number of changes. Even things like South Sudan have come in, and the list in the ICANN world is not as dynamic as the living list of country codes, and we'd like to see a greater tying to that list, with probably less concern about what region it goes to. But that's a long answer to, I guess, what you thought was a fairly simple question.
No. I think that was useful. It certainly was for me. You bring up the question of sort of new states as well, and that actually was raised by the CCNSO in a discussion that we had, because there are no real rules currently that say, okay, if there's a new country that comes up and is in the ISO standard, but which region does it go in? And it may not necessarily be self-evident.
I allot a very happy for intelligent self-determination, but they are concerned about gaining and venue shopping. They wouldn't want a situation where one could, for example, say a council seat or a voting structure in a component part of ICANN where one was in one geographic region for the purpose of one exercise and in another for something else.
I absolutely agree, though as part of the feedback, the meeting in San Jose, interestingly, I think it was the UK rep was saying, well, how do you stop a country from saying, oh, we want to go here or there or whatever? And they were trying to say, well, you know, maybe you can't impose a limit because they have a sovereign right to move. I think that's essentially what was said, Rob, was it not?
Yes, that's correct.
But I guess the question there is, do you move in isolation in terms of a component part of the ICANN world, or do you move in total? So, for example, should the United Kingdom suddenly wish to become, for the purposes of whatever exercise, declared as a member of the Asia-Pacific region or the Oceanic region, that would be applied across the board. Now, if that's the case, that makes it a very much more serious decision.
Yes.
And it puts the consequences back on them.
Yes, but my concern even there would be, so they want to be in Asia-Pacific at a particular year. Can they just change to Europe the next year because there's a different voting concern?
And I guess the answer there, if I put on what I'm trying to channel some of my more libertarian and democratically free speech and freedom for all at large people here, which might I say is a bit of a stretch from my core values. But I guess the answer from a number of our regions and leaders would be yes, recognising that there would be consequences to that. For example, it may trigger what would be the equivalent of by-elections, and it would certainly mean that some appointments would have to be relinquished. And so to shuffle from one to other too frequently would render one's voice inept in a real political sense. And so it would be something that would be done, I would have hoped, relatively cautiously. I think to say thou shalt have to stay there for 3 years, 5 years, or till the next review, that's probably a question we should put out to public comment. But I doubt that the majority of our community would think that a particular artifice of time was more worthy than recognising that there might be some dynamism from social or geopolitical pressures from time to time.
Okay.
And that said, I'm much more of a benevolent autocrat, so I really was, you know, stretching to sort of think how other people might answer that question.
I'm with you, Cheryl, yeah, but I understand. Thank you.
I wouldn't think the point... muggers vote if I had a choice, but apparently they think it's democracy to work. I personally don't see it myself.
Okay. I think the other point, or one of the other points that has come out, both in the written feedback and in the verbal feedback, has been the question of whether people, were we to continue down with this aim of looking at the RIR structure, whether people could opt in or opt out.
Yep.
And that has been an issue that has been raised repeatedly. I suppose it comes from my benevolent autocratic background, in that I feel if people have to opt in, then nobody's going to move, and therefore you're wasting your time. If people have to opt out, then there can be some correction done, and it works better that way. However, the rest of the world is against me on this, as far as I can see. Any comments, you know?
Well, again, I think rather than a clear-cut opt-in or opt-out discussion or decision, I've heard that an ability, almost along the lines of a moratorium period, for a self-determination. Please advise, you know, within the next 60 to 90 days, should you believe that your country belongs in a different region. Here is an example of the type of evidence and reference from authority that would be required to make this change approach would be acceptable, which is not quite as fluffy as opt-in, opt-out. We're also very aware, and I'm not saying opt-in or opt-out is not a bad way to go, I'm just saying I have not heard that specific conversation. I've heard it more along the lines of self-determination opportunity. We're also very aware that it is quite possible for a representation in ICANN to be quite effectively and efficiently done by even at a government level, a part or a department, that should it come to such a thing as deciding what geographic region one resides in for the purposes of ICANN, and if there is a question then on what does that do to where else we reside in other lists or in other fora, that decision, that right to make that choice in an authoritative way may reside in an entirely different part of the government. And we are a little concerned that if the, you know, for example, you know, telecommunications minister who's been working long and hard and, you know, teams involved in GAC and ASO and everything else and the local internet chapter is, you know, blah, 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 and then it goes to the, you know, equivalent to the Attorney General's department and they can't even spell ICANN, that could be a concern. So we're aware that there might be in-country issues as well if things like self-determination was offered. I'm also hearing a little bit of we've gone through a review process, but that does not necessarily mean that wholesale change is a necessary consequence out of a review process. A review process could offer more tweak and less rebuild and still be successful.
My concern of always about self-determination is when we get round to and the local internet community, and what is the local internet community, how is it defined, and how do you get a response from it?
Well, there I think we've got a beautiful benchmark, and it's a piece of perfect timing from the Geographic Review Workgroup's point of view, is that the in-principle support that the Government Advisory Committee has given to the definition of an interested party, an SIP, in the framework of interpretation workgroups analysis of what is a terminology and what is it to mean, from the delegation and re-delegation of CCNSO point of view, has given us some precedence, and luckily that's something that's already gone through public comment period. So I think the local internet community can now be defined as significantly interested party as per the current status of the FOI workgroup's outputs.
Okay.
And it's great to be able to pump things across to another field.
It's their fault.
Hey, watch it. I serve on that committee too. But no, seriously, that did go through an awful lot of review. It's been through public comment. It has, in principle, GAC support. It's a whole lot better than this arty-farty local internet community. Yeah, for things like Heard Island, what are we supposed to do, ask the penguins? I mean, you know.
Yeah, indeed. Or the palm trees here.
Yes, exactly. and it is a quite inclusive, not overly generous, but very reasonable listing. And the term significantly interested party, I think, will become the vernacular for the future.
Okay. Rob, could you make some comment on timings?
I'm sorry, did you say on timing, Dave?
On timings, yeah. Next steps, I suppose.
Sure. I mean, you know, one of the other areas of feedback, of course, that you got in Costa Rica from a couple of commenters was, gee, do we have to do this now? There's new GTLDs coming down the pike. This is going to change, you know, the makeup of the...
My view on that is that's fine, but it's up to the board to decide.
And that's a perfectly legitimate point. I mean, in terms of timing and where things go from here, if you had a final document that the working group approved tomorrow, that would go out. You would still be looking at probably a board action in a time frame of no earlier than 3 months, you know, sometime around the Toronto meeting more likely. And that's in the most ideal circumstances because, you know, once you all have agreed on a final product and you know, Cheryl's comments notwithstanding, I think the comment periods pending some further discussions among you as a working group are just about over in terms of your final report product. And you could agree to do another round if you come up with a substantially different draft. But in terms of what happens from here on is that a final report would be finished, you know, based on whatever additional deliberations the working group has. Then a formal request would go out to each SO and AC to provide comments on that final report, and then that whole package would go to the board. At that point, the board would then likely say, thank you very much, working group and SOs and ACs. Staff, please put this out for public comment.
That's right.
So there would be an additional period of time. So if you first give the SOs and ACs after your report is done a reasonable period of time, and that's probably no less than 45 days, maybe longer. Then when the board comes out and says we would like public comment, there's then again a likely period of at least 45 days. And note what I'm saying is, you know, the minimum time period is I think 21 and 21. So you're likely to want to expand that a little bit. You're talking right there, you know, what, 3-4 months. So in terms of that type of timing, Dave, I think that's sort of, you know, you're looking at toward the end of the year a board decision. I think the more immediate time pressure that you want to look at perhaps is when do you all want to be done? And so, and from the perspective of you and Cheryl on the call today, sort of how you would like to recommend to the rest of the group how quickly things move going forward in terms of your internal working group process.
Yeah.
I think we've interacted with the public and the component parts of ICANN enough to get to the next stage of drafting. Or do you think we should still be interactive?
No, I think we've got to come up with, I mean, what is essentially the final report, because according to our own procedures, as Rob said, the next stage is if we are done, we send a final report, goes out to all the SOs and ACs, they add their comment to it, and it all ends up on the board's table.
That's right. Yep.
Now, the question is, where do we take it from here? Because clearly, the line of least resistance is to say, okay, forget about the RIR model, simply say, there is a need for self-determination, blah, 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 that ICANN is going to have to keep a record of its own regions and which country is in which region, et cetera, et cetera. And there's going to be some procedures defined. So that's the line of least resistance, if you like. And are we prepared to go that way? Is that going to... satisfy our original mandate or not?
Well, I would suggest that putting that to a call for consensus to the work group is a very good idea.
I'm sure if we pushed it out and said this is the way we think we should go, we would get consensus because it is, as I said, the line of least resistance.
But I think it would be good from a transparency point of view if we went through that exercise and got them to all tick a box on a big pulse vote that said yes, all of the members of the work group are signing off on a final report which is making the following observations and recommendations for ICANN consideration.
Fine. My fundamental question was, do we want to do that?
What's the alternative?
Stick with what we got.
Well, I think that sticking with what we've got then means that you're forcing another part of the organisation. You know what you're going to get from some of the ACs on it, and it's going to not be necessarily supportive or complimentary.
Yeah,
therefore.
Sure.
We're not going to have a second run at incorporating or changing that. It just becomes part of the folder of stuff that goes to the board. And so we do our job and say, there you go, board. Pick a card, any card, and turn it over, and we'll see if we can guess what it is. and that's okay. That actually fulfills the mandate. I'm not sure it's close to the core value I'd like to be running. But it does, Dave, I admit, fulfill the mandate.
Yeah. I mean, we're being somewhat facetious and going to extremes. I think despite my better judgment in the other direction, I think we would at the very least have to move to from an opt-out to an opt-in. So I wasn't saying actually let's not change a word, but I was trying to give alternatives here.
Either way, we need to decide to get on with doing it. Perfectly comfortable with proposing a least line of resistance option and seeing whether it gets consensus support. That said, we've run a particular line to date. We pretty well know where we're going to get comment or the type of comment and in inverted commas suggestions, if not opposition. If that's the way the game needs to be done, then that's the way the game needs to be done. But the geographic reviews are surely overdue and needed to be done. We've done a damn good job and done an awful lot of catch-up on it. It's a good foundational piece of work for future and more regular reviews to be done in a far more efficient way because all of the background stuff is done. And to that end, I'm going to be able to sleep well at night thinking about it, or more to the point, not thinking about it. Will it meet the original set of utopian objectives that some of us had? Nope. But then not everything is likely to.
Yeah, this is an international organisation. When do you achieve everything?
Well, until they just leave you or me in charge, that's true. Can I ask, with the tracking list, is it your intention, Rob, based on, excuse me, I'd like to clear my throat, sorry about that, to append that as part of the final report, as is done in a number of other reports that come out of the policy department of the GNSO, or are we doing something that is more specifically CCNSO structured?
This is Rob for the record. I put it together as a tool for you to use and to help your deliberations in terms of sort of processing the community feedback. My recommendation would be to append it, and as you sort of work through, you know, whatever resolutions you make in terms of, you know, completing the final report, would make the appropriate changes under status or disposition. Now,
I
think it has worked well in other ways, Cheryl, and so, you know, I would certainly recommend using it because it does provide a measure of transparency. People see how their comments were treated. They see that they were treated seriously. And so, yeah, that would be my recommendation. I think in terms of process, how you'd work it through, and what you're suggesting, though, is a higher altitude initially with the rest of the working group, which is to get a general sense and to present them, the rest of the working group, with essentially a survey, which lays out a couple of different options. Based upon how the working group responds to those options, you might then end up going back and addressing each of these individually, or you might say as a working group, we heard you. We're ratcheting back. We're taking a slightly different approach here.
And either, I think, would be a valid pathway to go down. I think it's important to ask those questions, Rob and Dave. Let me labour the point just a little bit. Because I live in, well, probably more than two, but at least two worlds in ICANN, I spend an awful lot of time in GNSO policy development process, and I spend perhaps not quite so much as an awful lot of time, but certainly a lot of time in some of the CCNSO productions as well. And so I've been able to watch two very different methods of both development and reporting. But in a post-affirmation of commitment world, and based on the feedback I heard serving as part of the ATRT from community across all of ICANN, I'd very much recommend that we do what Rob just outlined, and that is have this tool as a very integral part of any final product. It does show we have heard you, and we have listened, and we have discussed, and we have responded. And that's something that the community deserves. And I'm less concerned about how much makes it into the final report based on the individual work group members' decisions, choices or input, as I am to make sure that the community knows that this has not just been a smoke and mirrors exercise, that it is... their contributions have been valued and are integral to the output. And I know it just makes slightly longer reports, but it certainly is something I'd be strongly recommending that we do.
I reserve judgment until we reword the report.
Right.
I think that's just a question of style. I don't have any problems at all with ensuring one way or another that it is clear that we have listened to feedback and this is what's happened to it. No problems with that at all. I may have some reservations about some of the things in the appendix. In the checklist, I'm not sure. I'd want to read it again before coming out finally.
Our comments and disposition.
The comments and disposition. I think it's got to be, obviously would have to be changed and edited.
Because that's really all we can edit. Because the other is the input from the public. We can't edit that.
Well. No, it's not, because it is a selection of input from the public, is it not?
Rob?
That is correct. I mean, what I did was I went through the various comments and pulled out, I think what I say in the here in the introduction here is specific potentially actionable suggestions offered by commenters. So, I mean, I think utilizing this form, Dave, we can wordsmith or edit it as however you would like. If, for example, you say, Rob, in between 1.1 and 1.2, we should have a 1.11 because you didn't say, you know, indicate that the NRO said this. I am more than happy to expand this list. And certainly, as Cheryl noted, you guys can wordsmith all day long on the comments part. As you'll recall in the V3 here, these are just, you know, your initial sort of working comment responses. And the final document is totally up to the working group in terms of what you all want to say in that section.
Yeah. All I'm saying is, I suppose I'm being a canny Scot and saying, I hear what you say. It's not something I'm used to. I don't have an objection in principle, but I'd like to read it all through again before I agree.
Sure. And nobody was used to it before the middle of 2010, I think, was the first time. Very much in the, might have even been early 2011. So it's new to everybody, but it's been something that's been, that tool that I've certainly seen used extensively in GNSO world, this tracking checklist has been welcomed by the community.
I mean, what I, in the absence of a tracking checklist being published, I would essentially do the same thing within the body of the report, I suppose. But
where I tend to be assume that people read less of a report, make sure all the gory details are in the.
My report says they'll read.
Well, you know, reports are long or short, but we also need to make sure that you know, the wiki backup and all that other space that, you know, we have as repositories match up to it as well. We can stick things in all sorts of places and just put links in reports to make them shorter if needs be. The other question is, Dave, are we going to have any documents out that need to go into the Prague song and dance show, or are we not trying to do anything to deadlines for Prague?
I don't think we can in the time that's left available.
Sure.
Is the honest answer?
Yeah, no, I just know what you because I, not having had enough time to really interact with any of you in Costa Rica, I wasn't sure what the group wanted to do out of there.
Yeah. There was no group interaction in Costa Rica.
Oh well, I didn't miss out then.
No, you didn't. I spoke to Rob, and Rob spoke to me.
Okay.
Well, and you had the public dialogue, of course.
Yes, but not with the group, is what I'd
okay.
say.
Are you planning on gathering us all together over a cup of coffee, if nothing more formal than that, or just...
I think that's about the best we can aim for. We've said no formal meeting this time, have we not, Rob?
That was just in terms of a workshop, Dave, under the theory that you've gotten all the public input at this point, and it's really now...
Absolutely, and we don't want or need any more.
Oh, God, no, we don't need any more public interaction. We've had enough of the public.
Absolutely. But a coffee or a bar would be a good idea.
There is always the ability to sign up for those ad hoc use rooms, isn't there, Rob?
Yes.
So perhaps we could poll to see who amongst the work group members, we might actually, you know, find a few people that haven't had the opportunity to interact because of other workload that might actually be available there. That might be worthwhile seeing if we put something together.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sorry,
if it doesn't screw up your calendar, as I learned that when I do too many options in the doodle polls, it does. And my apologies for that, is that I could do a more limited doodle scheduling poll for working group members. I'll work with Gisela to start out with the foundation being sort of your available times, Cheryl, and make some suggestions for the week and see maybe for those working group members in attendance if we can find a consensus time that works for folks.
Basically, from 3 or 4 weeks out from an ICANN meeting, I have no control over my life calendar-wise. Gisela just runs it. So if my cousin asked if we could have lunch, I'd ask her to email at Gisela. So, and I am not actually joking. So, Rob, very wise choice.
Very good.
Gisela has the only mind I have met for a very long time that can run all of these scheduling things in some sort of way that she also compensates for, you know, five different time zones and individual characteristics of what we're doing. So she'll say, oh no, you know, Olivia will only be off a plane by, you know, 3/4 of an hour then, so we need to do the meeting longer because traffic will hold him up. I mean, she just has a... Oh, she's worth her weight in gold. But then again, I'm part of the Gisela fan club. Guys, that was my call waiting for my next call. Dave...
Yeah, I think we're done. Thank you very much for your input. Most useful. I'll speak to Rob. You drop off. I'll speak to Rob about some practical issues. But basically, I think we've got to get something out to the group by email as soon as we can. But
good morning, good afternoon, good evening to everyone on today's Geo Regions call on Thursday, the 24th of May. We have Cheryl Langdonore, Dave Archibald. From staff, we have Rob Hogarth and myself, Gisela Gruber. Apologies noted from Fard Batainu. And if I could please just remind you to state your names when speaking for transcript purposes. Thank you. Over to you, Dave.
Thank you. In light of the few numbers that we have got, I would like to initially concentrate on the verbal feedback that we got at the meeting at San Jose. Cheryl, have you had an opportunity to read the transcript of that?
No, I haven't, I'm afraid. I've been somewhat otherwise occupied. But, I did suspect that it would be very similar to the issues that were brought up before, but if there's anything new...
I was hoping I could come to you and say, can you explain a little bit more the ALAC views? Because I'm sure I still don't believe that I fully understand where they're coming from. So that was my
concern there. Sure, I can have a punt at that. I think what various regions within the At-Large Advisory Committee are concerned about is whether or not there is any real gain for their component parts to change the model, even to the RIR model, having digested the who gains and who loses and seeing the general balance of numbers, etc., being fairly equal. I think there is a concern that the investment in making the change, what might be lost in terms of previously established internal regional workings, operations, political alliances and everything else, might be a little bit traumatic for them. There are, of course, a few highlight points where the micro and island states still maintain that their situation, that's both in the Caribbean and in the oceanic regions, have particular needs, and to be clustered in with some of the big islands, for example, and I'd include New Zealand there in the oceanic point as well as Australia, somehow means that some of the specific issues that they think they have in terms of community of interest would be better met by having a subset that saw that recognition of their particular needs, but that is also balanced to some extent by, even without going beyond Asia Pacific, some of the views not by the Arab commentary that we did get in the earlier public comment, but in face-to-face interactions that some of us have had, where some of the Arab League states have said they think that the insulation that would result should we not go on a either a no change other than allowing people to hop from one side of the fence to the other because it suits them at this stage, and that would perhaps pick up some of the issues that being mismatched as many countries and states are, or sorry, not states, islands are, that, you know, that would be a little bit insular, and in fact some of them indicated that they benefit by being in at least the at-large system and working with the Eastern Asian and even Oceanic countries. So we're almost six of one and a half dozen of another. If I had to say, would there be a general feeling that change should be wrought, I think it would be for as little change to the existing five-region model as possible, and preferably to simply allow self-determination for some of, or for any, depending on how it's processed. There might need to be a, you can't change every, you know, every month or every half month or every year or every 3 years, because you don't want to be having sort of venue shopping happening, but some ability to self-determine for a country that feels that it is inappropriately allocated. The EDGE community at the Asia Pacific and European border really is probably able to manage in either side, in other words, as part of URALO or as part of APRALO, with the greatest inconvenience to them, actually only being time zones for meetings. But the self-organisation for interest groups, those sort of special, be they ad hoc or more permanent communities of interest, be it language, cultural or otherwise based, was an idea that still did have a fair amount of support. And of course you have the tiny units where there is some political contention on the drawing of who goes into what geographic grouping. I don't think I need repeat, but obviously language use on even nomenclature of some of the identifiers for these countries is an issue for some. That tends to be more in the Latin American, Caribbean and European border line. To that end, we already see that some of the need is being met with ad hoc formulation of birds of feather or special interest groups or communities of interest. We have the reality that, for example, the small island states, both Oceanic and Latin American and Caribbean, have joined together and put in a successful workshop for IGF. So that's woven, I think, I'd like to think it was inspired by the good idea from the GEOs group, GEO Reviews group, that ad hoc formulation to meet need is also something that can be done. It doesn't have to be the tightly tied to a ICANN listing. One thing I would mention, though, excuse me, is the desire I've heard for all of the ICANN nomenclature for identifiers for countries to be very, very particularly matched to the ISO 3166-1. They like to think that if you go back to what was in the, I think it was the Toronto meeting that did the last listing, there has been a number of changes. You know, even things like South Sudan have come in, and the list in the ICANN world is not as dynamic as the living list of country codes, and we'd like to see a greater tying to that list, with probably less concern about what region it goes to. But that's a long answer to, I guess, what you thought was a fairly simple question.
No. I think that was useful. It certainly was for me. You bring up the question of sort of new states as well, and that actually was raised by the CCNSO in a discussion that we had, because there are no real rules currently that say, okay, if there's a new country that comes up and is in the ISO standard, but which region does it go in? And it may not necessarily be self-evident.
I'm not very happy for intelligent self-determination, but they are concerned about gaming and venue shopping. They wouldn't want a situation where one could, for example, say a council seat or a voting structure, a component part of ICANN, where one was in one geographic region for the purpose of one exercise and in another for something else.
I absolutely agree, though as part of the feedback, the meeting in San Jose, interestingly, I think it was the UK rep was saying, well, how do you stop a country from saying, oh, we want to go here or there or whatever? And they were trying to say, well, you know, maybe you can't impose a limit because they have a sovereign right to move. I think that's essentially what was said, Rob, was it not?
Yes, that's correct.
But I guess the question there is, do you move in isolation in terms of a component part of the ICANN world, or do you move in total? So, for example, should the United Kingdom suddenly wish to become, for the purposes of whatever exercise, declared as a member of the Asia-Pacific region or the Oceanic region, that would be applied across the board. Now, if that's the case, that makes it a very much more serious decision.
Yes.
And it puts the consequences back on them.
Yes, but my concern even there would be, so they want to be in Asia-Pacific at a particular year, can they just change to Europe the next year because there's a different voting concern?
And I guess the answer there, if I put on what I'm trying to channel some of my more libertarian and democratically free speech and freedom for all at large people here, which might I say is a bit of a stretch from my core values. But I guess the answer from a number of our regions and leaders would be yes, recognising that there would be consequences to that. For example, it may trigger what would be the equivalent of by-elections, and it would certainly mean that some appointments would have to be relinquished. And so to shuffle from one to other too frequently would render one's voice inept in a real political sense. And so it would be something that would be done, I would have hoped, relatively cautiously. I think to say thou shalt have to stay there for 3 years, 5 years, or till the next review, that's probably a question we should put out to public comment. But I doubt that the majority of our community would think that a particular artifice of time was more worthy than recognising that there might be some dynamism from social or geopolitical pressures from time to time.
Okay.
And that said, I'm much more of a benevolent autocrat, so I really was, you know, stretching to sort of think how other people might answer that question.
I'm with you, Cheryl. Yeah, but I understand. Thank you.
I wouldn't even let the buggers vote if I had a choice, but apparently they think it's some work. I personally don't see it myself.
Okay. I think the other point, or one of the other points that has come out, both in the written feedback and in the verbal feedback, has been the question of whether people, were we to continue down with this aim of looking at the RIR structure, whether people could opt in or opt out.
Yep.
And that has been an issue that has been raised repeatedly. I suppose it comes from my benevolent autocratic background, in that I feel if people have to opt in, then nobody's going to move, and therefore you're wasting your time. If people have to opt out, then there can be some correction done, and it works better that way. However, the rest of the world is against me on this, as far as I can see. Any comments, Cheryl?
Well, again, I think rather than a clear-cut opt-in or opt-out discussion or decision, I've heard that an ability, almost along the lines of a moratorium period, for a self-determination. Please advise, you know, within the next 60 to 90 days, should you believe that your country belongs in a different region. Here is an example of the type of evidence and reference from authority that would be required to make this change approach would be acceptable, which is not quite as fluffy as opt-in, opt-out. We're also very aware, and I'm not saying opt-in or opt-out is not a bad way to go, I'm just saying I have not heard that specific conversation. I've heard it more along the lines of self-determination opportunity. We're also very aware that it is possible for a representation in ICANN to be quite effectively and efficiently done by even at a government level, a part or a department, that should it come to such a thing as deciding what geographic region one resides in for the purposes of ICANN, and if there is a question then on what does that do to where else we reside in other lists or in other fora, that decision, that right to make that choice in an authoritative way may reside in an entirely different part of the government, and we are a little concerned that if the, you know, for example, you know, telecommunications minister who's been working long and hard and, you know, teams involved in GAC and ASO and everything else and the local internet chapter is, you know, blah, 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 and then it goes to the, you know, equivalent to the Attorney General's department and they can't even spell ICANN, that could be a concern. So we're aware that there might be in-country issues as well if things like self-determination was offered. I'm also hearing a little bit of we've gone through a review process, but that does not necessarily mean that wholesale change is a necessary consequence out of a review process. A review process could offer more tweak and less rebuild and still be successful.
My concern of always about self-determination is when we get round to and the local internet community, and what is the local internet community, how is it defined, and how do you get a response from it?
Well, there I think we've got a beautiful benchmark, and it's a piece of perfect timing from the Geographic Review Workgroup's point of view, is that the in-principle support that the Government Advisory Committee has given to the definition of an interested party, an SIP, in the framework of interpretation workgroups analysis of what is a terminology and what is it to mean from the delegation and re-delegation of CCNSO point of view has given us some precedence, and luckily that's something that's already gone through public comment period. So I think the local internet community can now be defined as significantly interested party as per the current status of the FOI workgroup's outputs.
Okay.
And it's great to be able to pump things across to another field.
It's their fault.
Hey, watch it. I serve on that committee too. But no, seriously, that did go through an awful lot of review. It's been through public comment. It has in principle GAC support. It's a whole lot better than this arty-farty local internet community. Yeah, for things like Heard Island, what are we supposed to do, ask the penguins? I mean, you know.
Yeah, indeed. Or the palm trees here.
Yes, exactly. And it is a quite inclusive, not overly generous, but very reasonable listing. And the term significantly interested party, I think, will become the vernacular for the future.
Okay. Rob, could you make some comment on timings?
I'm sorry, what did you say on timing, Dave?
On timings, yeah. Next steps, I suppose.
Sure. I mean, you know, one of the other areas of feedback, of course, that you got in Costa Rica from a couple of commenters was, gee, do we have to do this now? There's new GTLDs coming down the pike. This is going to change, you know, the makeup of the...
My view on that is that's fine, but it's up to the board to decide.
And that, yeah, that's a perfectly legitimate point. I mean, in terms of timing and where things go from here, if you had a final document that the working group approved tomorrow, that would go out. You would still be looking at probably a board action in a time frame of no earlier than 3 months, you know, sometime around the Toronto meeting more likely.
Yeah.
And that's in the most ideal circumstances because, you know, once you all have agreed on a final product and you know, Cheryl's comments notwithstanding, I think the comment periods pending some further discussions among you as a working group are just about over in terms of your final report product. And you could agree to do another round if you come up with a substantially different draft. But in terms of what happens from here on is that a final report would be finished, you know, based on whatever additional deliberations the working group has. Then a formal request would go out to each SO and AC to provide comments on that final report. And then that whole package would go to the board. At that point, the board would then likely say, thank you very much, working group and SOs and ACs. Staff, please put this out for public comment.
That's right.
So there would be an additional period of time. So if you first give the SOs and ACs after your report is done a reasonable period of time, and that's probably no less than 45 days, maybe longer, then when the board comes out and says, we would like public comment, there's then, again, a likely period of at least 45 days. And note what I'm saying is, you know, the minimum time period is, I think, 21 and 21. So you're likely to want to expand that a little bit. You're talking right there, you know, what, 3-4 months. So in terms of that type of timing, Dave, I think that's sort of, you know, you're looking at toward the end of the year a board decision. I think the more immediate time pressure that you want to look at perhaps is when do you all want to be done? And so, and from the perspective of you and Cheryl on the call today, sort of how you would like to recommend to the rest of the group how quickly things move going forward in terms of your internal working group process.
Yeah.
I think we've interacted with the public and the component parts of ICAM enough to get to the next stage of drafting. Or do you think we should still be interactive?
No, I think we've got to come up with, I mean,
yeah.
What is essentially the final report, because according to our own procedures, as Rob said, the next stage is if we are done, we send a final report, goes out to all the SOs and ACs, they add their comment to it, and it all ends up on the board's table. Now, the question is, where do we take it from here? Because clearly, the line of least resistance is to say, okay, forget about the RIR model, simply say there is a need for self-determination, blah, 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 that ICANN is going to have to keep a record of its own regions and which country is in which region. Etc. And there's going to be some procedures defined. So that's the line of least resistance, if you like. And are we prepared to go that way? Is that going to satisfy our original mandate or not?
Well, I would suggest that putting that to a call for consensus to the work group is a very good idea.
I'm sure if we pushed it out and said this is the way we think we should go, we would get consensus because it is, as I said, the line of least resistance.
But I think it would be good from a transparency point of view if we went through that exercise and got them to all tick a box on a big pulse vote that said yes, all of the members of the work group are signing off on a final report, which is making the following observations and recommendations for ICANN consideration. Yeah, blah,
yeah,
blah, blah.
Yeah, fine. My fundamental question was, do we want to do that?
What's the alternative?
Stick with what we got.
Well, I think that sticking with what we've got then means that you're forcing another part of the organisation. You know what you're going to get from some of the ACs on it, and it's going to not be necessarily supportive or complementary.
Yeah,
therefore.
Sure.
We're not going to have a second run at incorporating or changing that. It just becomes part of the folder of stuff that goes to the board. And so we do our job and say, there you go, board. Pick a card, any card, and turn it over, and we'll see if we can guess what it is. and that's okay. That actually fulfills the mandate. I'm not sure it's close to the core value I'd like to be running with. But it does, Dave, I admit, fulfill the mandate.
Yeah. I mean, we're being somewhat facetious and going to extremes. I think despite my better judgment in the other direction, I think we would at the very least have to move to from an opt-out to an opt-in. So I wasn't saying actually let's not change a word, but I was trying to give alternatives here.
Either way, we need to decide to get on with doing it.
I would be
perfectly comfortable with proposing a least line of resistance option and seeing whether it gets consensus support. That said, We've run a particular line to date. We pretty well know where we're going to get comment or the type of comment and in inverted commas, suggestions, if not opposition. If that's the way the game needs to be done, then that's the way the game needs to be done. But the geographic reviews are surely overdue and needed to be done. We've done a damn good job and done an awful lot of catch-up on it. It's a good foundational piece of work for future and more regular reviews to be done in a far more efficient way because all of the background stuff is done. And to that end, I'm going to be able to sleep well at night thinking about it, or more to the point, not thinking about it. Will it meet the original set of utopian objectives that some of us had? Nope. But then not everything is likely to.
Yeah, this is an international organisation. When do you achieve everything? Yeah.
Well, until they just leave you or me in charge, that's true. Can I ask, with the tracking list, is it your intention, Rob, based on... Sorry about that. To append that as part of the final report, as is done in a number of other reports that come out of the policy department of the GNSO, or are we doing something that is more specifically CCNSO structured?
This is Rob for the record. I put it together as a tool for you to use. And to help your deliberations in terms of sort of processing the community feedback. My recommendation would be to append it, and as you sort of work through, you know, whatever resolutions you make in terms of, you know, completing the final report, would make the appropriate changes under status or disposition. Now, I think it has worked well in other ways, Cheryl, and so... You know, I would certainly recommend using it because it does provide a measure of transparency. People see how their comments were treated. They see that they were treated seriously. That would be my recommendation. I think in terms of process, how you'd work it through, and what you're suggesting, though, is a higher altitude initially with the rest of the working group, which is to get a general sense and to present them the rest of the working group with essentially a survey, which lays out a couple of different options. Based upon how the working group responds to those options, you might then end up going back and addressing each of these individually, or you might say as a working group, we heard you. We're ratcheting back. We're taking a slightly different approach here.
Either, I think, would be a valid pathway to go down. I think it's important to ask those questions, Rob, and Dave, let me labour the point just a little bit. Because I live in, well, probably more than two, but at least two worlds in ICANN, I spend an awful lot of time in GNSO policy development process, and I spend perhaps not quite so much as an awful lot of time, but certainly a lot of time in some of the CCNSO productions as well. I've been able to watch two very different methods of both development and reporting. But in a post-affirmation of commitment world, and based on the feedback I heard serving as part of the ATRT from community across all of ICANN, I'd very much recommend that we do what Rob just outlined. And that is have this tool as a very integral part of any final product. It does show we have heard you and we have listened and we have discussed and we have responded. And that's something that the community deserves. And I'm less concerned about how much makes it into the final report based on the individual work group members' decisions, choices or input, as I am to make sure that the community knows that this has not just been a smoke and mirrors exercise, that it is their contributions have been valued and are integral to the output. And I know it just makes slightly longer reports, but it certainly is something I'd be strongly recommending that we do.
I reserve judgment until we reword the report.
Okay.
I think that's just a question of style. I don't have any problems at all with ensuring one way or another that it is clear that we have listened to feedback and this is what's happened to it. No problems with that at all. I may have some reservations about some of the things in the appendix, in the checklist. I'm not sure. I'd want to read it again before coming out finally.
Our comments and disposition?
The comments and disposition, I think, it's got to be, obviously would have to be changed and edited.
Because that's really all we can edit, because the other is the input from the public. We can't edit that.
Well, no, it's not, because it is a selection of input from the public, is it not?
Rob?
That is correct. I mean, what I did was I went through the various comments and pulled out, I think what I say in the introduction here is specific potentially actionable suggestions offered by commenters. So, I mean, I think utilizing this form, Dave, we can wordsmith or edit it as however you would like. If, for example, you say, Rob, in between 1.1 and 1.2, we should have a 1.11, because you didn't say, you know, indicate that the NRO said this, I am more than happy to expand this list. And certainly, as Cheryl noted, you guys can wordsmith all day long on the comments part. As you'll recall, in the V3 here, these are just, you know, your initial sort of working comment responses. And the final document is totally up to the working group in terms of what you all want to say in that section.
Yeah. All I'm saying is, I suppose I'm being a canny Scot and saying, I hear what you say. It's not something I'm used to. I don't have an objection in principle, but I'd like to read it all through again before I agree.
Sure. And nobody was used to it before the middle of 2010, I think, was the first time. Very much in the, might have even been early 2011. So it's new to everybody, but it's been something that's been, that tool that I've certainly seen used extensively in GNSO world, this tracking checklist has been welcomed by the community.
I mean, in the absence of a tracking checklist being published, I would essentially do the same thing within the body of the report, I suppose. But
where I tend to be assume that people read less of a report, make sure all the gory details are in the.
My report says they'll read.
Well, you know, reports long or short, but we also need to make sure that. You know, the wiki backup and all that other space that, you know, we have as repositories match up to it as well. We can stick things in all sorts of places and just put links in reports to make them shorter as needs be. The other question is, Dave, are we going to have any documents out that need to go into the Prague song and dance show, or are we not trying to do anything to deadlines for Prague?
I don't think we can in the time that's left available.
Is
the honest answer.
Yeah, I just know what you, because I, not having had enough time to really interact with any of you in Costa Rica, I wasn't sure what the group wanted to do out of there.
Yeah, well, there was no group interaction in Costa Rica.
Oh, well, I didn't miss out then.
No, you didn't. I spoke to Rob, and Rob spoke to me.
Okay.
Well, and you had the public dialogue, of course.
Yes, but not with the group, is what I'd say.
Are you planning on gathering us all together over a cup of coffee, if nothing more formal than that, or just...
I think that's about the best we can aim for. We've said no formal meeting this time, have we not, Rob?
That was just in terms of a workshop, Dave, under the theory that you've gotten all the public input at this point, and it's really now.
Absolutely, and we don't want or need any more.
Oh, God, no, we don't need any more public interaction. We've had enough of the public.
Absolutely. But a coffee or a bar would be a good idea.
There is always the ability to sign up for those ad hoc use rooms, isn't there, Rob?
Yes.
So perhaps we could poll to see who amongst the work group members, we might actually, you know, find a few people that haven't had the opportunity to interact because of other workload that might actually be available there. That might be worthwhile seeing if we put something together.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, I'm sorry, yeah. That doesn't screw up your calendar, as I learned that when I do too many options in the doodle polls, it does, and my apologies for that, is that I could do a more limited doodle scheduling poll for working group members. I'll work with Gisela to start out with the foundation being sort of your available times, Cheryl, and make some suggestions for the week and see maybe for yep. those working group members in attendance if we can find a consensus time that works for folks.
Basically, from 3 or 4 weeks out from an ICANN meeting, I have no control over my life calendar-wise. Gisela just runs it. So if my cousin asked if we could have lunch, I'd ask her to email at Gisela. So, and I am not actually joking. So, Rob, very wise choice.
Very good.
Gisela has the only mind I have met for a very long time that can run all of these scheduling things in some sort of way that she also compensates for, you know, 5 different time zones and individual characteristics of what we're doing. So she'll say, oh, no, you know, Olivia will only be off a plane by, you know, 3/4 of an hour then, so we need to do the meeting longer because traffic will hold him up. I mean, she just has a... Oh, she's worth her weight in gold. But then again, I'm part of the Gisela fan club. Guys, that was my call waiting for my next call. Dave...
Yeah, I think we're done. Thank you very much for your input. Most useful. I'll speak to Rob. You drop off. I'll speak to Rob about some practical issues. But basically, I think we've got to get something out to the group by email as soon as we can. But let me think about that a little bit more. I've got to try and work on my own work schedule here. I'm in court and goodness knows all what. I've got to work around.
Sure. If we can gather something informal, you know, even if it's only for a 45-minute session, I think we might sort of be able to build a little bit of consensus.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
All right. Okay. I shall wait for the people to call me back now.
Okay.
Thanks, Cheryl. I'll see most of you in Prague then. Thanks, Rob. Always a pleasure. Bye, Dave.
Thank you, Cheryl.
Bye.
Dave, can I confirm then that you are now adjourning the meeting and we are stopping the recording?
Yes, that's fine. Thank you.